reattached the tendons then, that they, where they took the bone out. But I got the bandages off this morning because I look like it.
All right, 7 o'clock. Let's go ahead and start. Welcome to the Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting. It's August 9th, 2021, 7 p.m. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Walter?
Here.
Chacon?
Here.
Crawford?
Here.
Forrestal?
Here.
Garcia?
Here.
Millen?
Here.
Reifstech? Is absent. Schumacher?
Here.
Thank you. And Schimpf?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. So we have visitors. We have Jackie, our representative, liaison from City. We have Judy from Friends. Welcome. And we have Daniel Chacon.
Hello. Not representing you.
And we have Shelley, our library director. Okay. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Not this time. Okay. Any presentations to be made? Not this time. All right. So let's go ahead. We have several minutes from the last month to go through. Look at those, and then let's go ahead and approve.
For July 7th, for community relations for July 7th, Board of Trustees meeting for July 12th, and one other one here, Cooperative Education Commission inaugural meeting for July the 19th.
Second.
Let's present it.
Jim?
Yes.
Thank you. Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
And Schumacher?
I don't have them in front of me, so should I abstain? I think.
She should have gotten it through email.
I didn't get an email.
Okay. So,
abstain.
Okay, so is there any correspondence? Any public comment? Yes.
I just have one thing. Our Friends meeting this morning was very short, but we do have more fun than you guys do. Anyhow, at the book sale, that's all we had to talk about because that's the next thing coming up. It'll be before your next board meeting, too. And so because we have 2 years accumulation of books. And we also are trying to be very smart about COVID. We need a lot of help because we're going to be spread out in several places in the library. So if you could volunteer, and I have the two times that we need volunteers, We need volunteers on Tuesday, August the 31st at 1 o'clock, and that's to get the room ready, to move the tables, move the chairs, get everything arranged. You do not have to move boxes. We had a situation a couple years ago where we were able to use the high schoolers, and they came over just before 3 o'clock, and they moved all the boxes to the correct locations in a very short period of time. By the time they get here, we will have the labels on all the tables that say history or bio or whatever. So the high schoolers will move all the boxes. So if you can help then, we need help getting the rooms set up, because there's more than one. And then on Wednesday, we start at 9 o'clock, and we unpack the boxes. They're all labeled. They've all been pre-sorted. So the high schoolers will have moved them to their correct location. We just need to cut off the side flaps and get things laid out. So that takes a lot of people. And if you can help, I put it at the bottom to contact Sue Smithmeyer. You can drop her an email or give her a phone call. And we would be very grateful for your help and support. Because we made, 2 years ago, we made over $7,000. We should make a lot more than that. But we know that COVID is an issue, and a lot of people are reluctant to be with groups. So that's why we're spread out, in addition to the fact that we have so many books. So come, buy books, and help. Thank you.
Which areas are you going to use this room? Where else?
We're going to use the hallway.
Okay.
And tech services.
Nice.
Okay. I think that tech services will be primarily the children's books. That's a huge run that we have in the morning, because a lot of teachers come and people come to buy the children's books. So I think we'll have all the children's books, and I'm not sure, you know, what else she has. I'm not in charge this year. Sue Smithmeyer is.
Okay.
So she has it kind of all laid out where we'll have things. If we're trying to spread things out as well as I said, handle all of the books we have. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
We have the report of the treasurer.
So if you look at this page, the manual check register, Amy Simmons paid for ADS to come out and rewire the gates that we had discussed that were the emergency gates that were stuck for $1,933.
Are these the ones out in the courtyard over here? We're out back here.
Both.
Oh, wow.
All four gates.
I thought it was just a courtyard. Apparently, it took 2 days for them to.
Yes.
There was an especially large check going out to Lloyd Warber because he was behind on billing. Martin Plumbing came out and repaired two toilets. We also had a check to the lawyer, Peregrine Stein Union, and I don't know, Grossman and Luna.
He's a part of it.
Okay. RJ O'Neill came out and did preventative maintenance on the HVAC for $2,195. Then if you look at our budget report, we're doing really, really well on our budget. The one thing that I wanted to point out is we are way ahead of where we budgeted on our development fees. So yay! We're at 67.5% at 25% of the year. So yay! So.
So we're done with our first quarter. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Then I'll make a motion that we pay our bills for accounts payable of $17,948.37. And then for a payroll disbursement of $36,227.89 for a total disbursement of $54,176.26.
Second.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Thank you. Shim? Yes. Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
And Millen?
Yes.
Thank you.
Can we we have the report of the library director, please?
Sure.
So we just finished our summer reading program for the year. The children's department had two forms of participation for our summer reading. We did online as well as a paper login. We had 315 children participate with our paper and 62 online. She did 8 reading challenges online as well. We had 2 grand prize winners announced. One received a Kindle Fire and the other a light-up tablet, and those were made possible by the Friends of the Library. In the adult department, we passed out 100 reading logs, had 25 people participate online, and we had a big thank you to our summer sponsors, the Friends of the Library, Keller Farms, Yorkville, Wendy's, Foxy's Ice Cream, Classic Cinemas, NIU Football, Rosati's, Farnsworth House, Silver Fox, Evergreen Farms, and Amy's Greenhouse, and Sweet Temptations. And Daniel won one of our grand prize drawings. He won free pizza for a year from Rosati's. Yes. And then we had another one, Silver Fox, gave us a gift certificate to their restaurant. I believe it was $100 and bottle of wine. So sorry you did not get that. let's see here. We are going to be having our community fest. We had to change the date because of a conflict with the parking lot. So our community fest is switched to Saturday, October 9th from 11 to 3. And I'll talk more about that in unfinished business. And Judy touched on our Friends of the Library book sale to Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock here in the library. We are having a special program. I know Genevieve sent out an email today, Illinois Storm Chasers. So this is Storm Chasing 101. It is sponsored by the Friends of the Library. It's an interactive program that will go over common myths, radar analysis, photos, and videos from the field. Illinois Storm Chasers has over 300,000 followers on Facebook, and we looked at the analytics from our Facebook page, and over 31,000 people have seen our post on this program.
So, that's great.
Very exciting. I believe she has 60-some people signed up for the program right now.
That's going to be in.
This will be in here.
Okay. How many people are signed up?
60.
So far. Let's see. So Jeanette is also doing an escape room adventure for the month of August in combination with our weather theme. So this is the weather wizard. Kids will need to help release the wacky weather machine from its lockbox and stop the weather wizard from controlling the weather. So that's a mouthful. We have Spanish story time still going on with Facebook, and Tots and Toddlers is back in person for songs, stories, and dancing. Jeanette is doing Chalk the Walk this month. She's doing a read-in on August 17th. Kids can share the gift of reading with someone younger, so teens will be paired up with a young reading buddy, and they'll read to each other, and the teens can earn service hours for this, and they'll also receive a small token of appreciation from us. We are doing Read with Paws again after a hiatus from COVID. So that is Saturday, August 21st. Therapy dogs come to the library here, and kids get a chance to read to therapy dogs. It helps kids with their reading who struggle with reading, and it just encourages that and helps them feel less pressured as well. Saturday, September 14th at 7 o'clock in this room, we are honoring 9/11 with a program called The Date We Will Always Remember with historian Jim Gibbons, and that is also sponsored by the Friends of the Library. Tuesday, September 28th, via Zoom, we are doing a author program. Apologize, I'm getting that confused. We're doing a program sponsored with Westchester Public Library. They're actually hosting it, and it is the 150th anniversary of the Great Chicago Fire and the Peshtigo Fire. Those occurred on the same day, and Western Springs Deputy Fire Chief will be moderating the discussion between a Peshtigo historian from the Fire Museum and a curator from the Chicago History Museum. So apparently both fires happened on the same day, but you always hear about the Chicago Fire. But the Peshtigo Fire was the deadliest wildfire in recorded history, they said, with over 1,500 people lost their lives and 1.2 million acres of land was destroyed. So that will be an interesting program.
Yes.
Let's see here. We're partnering with the Garden Club, October 7th at 10 o'clock. We're having a tool savvy program. So we're having an author come to speak about garden tools. She is a product reviewer. And that is sponsored by the Friends and partnered with the Yorkville Garden Club. October 27th, we are also doing another Zoom program with author Chris Bojalin. I always butcher his name. He's a New York Times bestselling author, and he's going to speak about his new book release, The Hour of the Witch. So it's appropriate for Halloween. It's a historical thriller set in 1662 and inspired by the first divorce in North America for domestic violence. Interesting program there. And then we have all of our reoccurring programs for the month as well. We had two Medicare seminars in the month of July that people could come in and listen to updates for Medicare. Open enrollment starts in October, so I'm sure we'll be having a couple more of those programs as well. Let's see. We've purchased our tent, our hotspot, our book bins, our car magnets for our pop-up library. So we're going to showcase that during Hometown Days Festival. So look for us there on Saturday. We will be showcasing maybe how to download ebooks or get a library card, but we'll also be showcasing our book sale that will be going on. We'll be pointing people to the book sale as well. I will be attending a Chamber of Commerce luncheon tomorrow, and I've been invited to attend the Kendall County Historic Preservation Commission meeting August 16th, so I'll be visiting them at 6:30. I was at WSPY last Friday on their reference desk segment, where we just showcase area libraries and tell what's going on in the library as well. The Chamber of Commerce are going to be holding a blood drive here on August 17th. And let's see, we put out a new mask announcement on the 30th of July, where Kendall County is in the substantial category, so we are strongly recommending that everyone, regardless of the vaccine status, to wear their masks. And this will remain in effect until we move to moderate or low transmission. Let's see here. We had TK Elevator come repair a second broken elevator button.
Really?
Yep. Took him 20 minutes to do. Let's see. And I am in the process right now of collecting maintenance contracts for new elevator service.
Okay.
So, Ryan pointed me to a couple people, so I had one out last week, and I hope to hear from one more at least. And maybe I'll reach out to our current one again. I don't know. let's see here. Tom from Cicerco has gotten back to us about the building automation equipment and says that the materials have been ordered and some parts are taking longer than normal lead time, so once they have all the materials, then they can schedule us. So right now they are in the engineering process and creating drawings and wired diagrams, that he said. So to be continued on that. We are still continuing to hold the top spot for libraries in usage of our Capria mobile app. So that's really quite interesting to see. Yes. Out of maybe like 40, 50 libraries, we're usually in the top three spots between Moline and New Lenox usage. So, yeah, the staff's doing a great job promoting that as well. Just a reminder to a couple of board members to complete your OMA training. I know that the city's reached out to you to get that done. The state really would like that done in the first 90 days of appointment. Let's see, Genevieve is working on a grant for the American Rescue Plan Act 2021. This grant's due on the 15th, and it's the Expanding Digital Inclusion Transforming Library Services, and it focuses on device and technologies that will circulate to meet the needs of the identified target audiences in response to the recovery and the pandemic. I've scheduled our in-service staff day, Friday, September 24th. We're going to be reviewing two live Zoom performance meetings through Pug Day. We're going to have an afternoon session that will talk about downloading ebooks for staff, and we are going to be doing reviewing our disaster emergency preparedness plan as well. And then we're going to finish the day with a bit of book recycling art therapy for staff while we talk about department updates. Let's see here. I just want to make you aware of Rails is doing an online roundtable training. It's a succession planning for trustees. It is Wednesday, August 11th from 12 to 1. If anybody would like to join that, you just go to the Rails website. I believe they said that they were going to record it and have it available later. So if I find that they've recorded, I will share it with all of you. Let's see here. And lastly, I spoke with the director of the Oswego Public Library. She had given me a heads up about a group of auditors that are visiting public government buildings in the area and coming in with video cameras and filming patrons and staff and questioning policies and things like that. So I've let staff know how to handle the situation, just polite, don't cause argument. I gave them the policy book and ways that they can interact with these people. I've reached out to the chief of police. He was aware that this was going on and said to continue to do the same things, and that yes, they are allowed to be in public spaces and film public places.
Who is this?
Who are they? I'm just going to say, who are they? Do you know who they are?
They're called the First Amendment auditors.
Oh. Have they been here?
No. They've been in Bolingbrook. No, not Oswego either. Bolingbrook, Crest Hill area.
And their goal is just publicly humiliate people who are...
They like to post their videos on their YouTube pages. Yes. So, yeah.
Interesting. And wanting to know the policies, like they want to actually see the policies?
Yeah. We have our policies online, so, you know, we just want to be transparent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Interesting.
And that is all I have. That's a lot. Sorry.
That's okay. There's
a bell. Okay. Anything from the city? Okay. So we've had a few standing committees that have met. I guess first one would be, I guess we can go over, let's see, we got community relations.
No, that was from before.
It was from before?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We've already approved those minutes.
All right. Then...
it's just one.
So it's just we had our commission that met. So, Sue, thank you for the department heads. the names. So I've started sending out emails. This is for coming up with a relationship or partnership with the school district. And so in part of the public forum, community forum, earlier this month, I met Stephanie Dempsey. She's the innovation project manager, and this actually falls in her wheelhouse, doing partnerships. So I've been in correspondence with her, been talking about getting, you know, can we get, books, extra textbooks over here for the kids, like if it's science or whatever, we get in lists of texts that we could have on our shelves that would basically be a part of their curriculum. You know, they can come over. These are extra resources. And so so I've started sending out emails to the department heads, and hopefully we'll find out something soon. Let's see. Are there any other? We have
finance.
Finance.
That's under new business.
So. Yeah, we'll do that in new business then. All right. So I guess let's go to unfinished business.
I put the Verde proposal in your packet because this was an updated one that she brought the night of the meeting, so I wanted to make sure you guys all had an updated version of it. And then I looked at the minutes from last month, and there was to be a follow-up with the city regarding the franchise, and I just called Rob to confirm, and he did not see with Ryan had said with them moving into a new building, and Rob didn't see an issue with that, with the franchise changing. I also shared this proposal with the city as well because I figured that, they would want to see it if they had any input. And Steve Rush got back to Rob and said, I understand the need to move the LED lights, but the bigger concern with the library is the lighting control system. I have copied Eric in on this email. Since it takes Dirk a lot of time to try to fix the fixtures and make sure the lighting control system is working. The existing lighting controls have had issues, and the control system is run by a company out of California. This makes it hard to reach them when Dirk is working in the morning. Before this proposal is approved, I would suggest that somebody verify that the lighting control panel worked correctly with the new LEDs. I would also suggest that ComEd be contacted in advance of approving this work to verify that the total amount of incentives the library will receive.
I did meet with Tom Getz from Cisco, and he brought in his electrician to go over the lighting control systems. And I haven't seen a proposal back from him, but from what the electrician was describing, it's not going to be cheap. Because all the wiring to all the switches is going to have to be replaced. Yeah. So, but I haven't seen it. And I told him, I said, I was up front with him, I said, it's all going to be based on price, whether or not we can afford to do this or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can manually turn the lights off in the building. I was unaware or didn't remember that we could do that, but the two reference desks have switches that they can turn off the main part of the building by just flipping a switch. And there's a couple other switches around that they manually push turn off. Mm-hmm. What the company in California did, I don't know. I think what they did was they put in some sort of program schedule into the panel and walked away from it. And it's not control. There is no outside connection to any of the lighting panels. So whatever the schedule is for turning the lights on and off.
So it's a standalone system.
Yeah.
Have we ever talked to the people in California?
Tom Lindholm talked to them, and he got nowhere with them. He could not find anybody that was familiar with the system we have at this company that installed it. We've got the guy's card that was part of the company when they installed it back in 2007. Tom Lindblom got nowhere with them. This was shortly after the building opened.
So they programmed.
What's the name of the?
I'd have to look at the book again.
We have an O&M for it.
We got the manual in Ford. Is in the.
And then what do we do if something happens to the lights? We never get in contact with this company. So what do we do if something happens? We can't control the lights.
I think I may have told you.
Yeah.
It is a light.
But usually it's just you punch in your hours.
Usually somebody's in control. They'll adjust the schedule if somebody asks them to.
There's no local company that takes that?
Well, it's not. I don't think we're not paying for a service or anything. It's just somebody went in, did this, and then walked away.
Yeah.
So when they
told nobody how it could be changed.
Mm-hmm. So we just stuck with having some company.
There's probably just instructions to change the program.
There's got to be a manual somewhere.
Yeah, there's a manual in that room.
It's not common for someone not to know how to do it.
So then I think that if there is a manual, then maybe the facilities can.
And Sister Cove has a copy of the manual. I took a copy of the manual and sent it to them. They seem to have everything. They have a picture of the as-built drawings, they have the manuals. Mm-hmm. They've come out and seen all the panels that are around. There's four of them. They're familiar, the electrician is familiar with the equipment, and it's just a matter of, you know, what is it going to take to, as usual, replace the whole system.
Right. Well, maybe
we just wanted to turn off.
Yes.
Half an hour after the library closes or something like that. Right?
Yeah.
So maybe the facilities committee can find a manual. And then try to see.
Manual's in there. I can give it. You know,
okay. Then we'll
like I said, it's about yay thick.
Okay. Well, then
it's about 10 pages.
That's something that you guys are probably looking to. Okay. So you guys are looking to a facilities committee.
So the thing is that with the switches that you said there are switches that can be turned off at the front desk, but does that turn off so much of the lighting that our cameras can't pick up anything worse?
Well, it turns off everything except the emergency lights.
Okay.
So there's about maybe 10% of the lights that stay on forever because they're the emergency lights.
So they're always on?
They're always on. They're on batteries. Okay. So they stay on. The ballasts are on batteries, so they stay on. Until the batteries run out. Okay. And those batteries have to be changed every once in a while.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, when was the last time?
Well, I think they check them when they go out, and when they replace the batteries, because there's a signal, the lights do make some kind of a signal when the batteries are dead.
Okay.
I know the emergency lights like those, when the batteries are dead, there's a red light on the side that blinks.
Okay.
Says battery.
Okay.
So maybe the knowledge of who knows everything about the lighting can find the manual and you guys can see if it can be done without the California.
The only people that I know of that know about the lighting system are the ones at Cisco that are trying to come up with a proposal for us.
Okay. Okay.
And these lights, they're all on manual. We just flip the breakers. And I did mention to them that we were in the process of replacing them with LEDs, and they said that would be a problem with what we have or what they propose.
Okay.
Because there's no dimmers on anything, and that's usually the problem, are the dimmers.
So what
just turn it on, turn it off.
What are we supposed to be doing with this? Are we trying to do something with this? Okay. Okay, so then I guess
this was for your information.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any other questions about the lighting? Okay. All right, then let's move on to YPL Community Fest.
Okay. Just, I'm having a meeting with Tiffany Forstall this week, and she has been spearheading getting all of the touch a truck and food truck vendors for us, and she's been in contact with the school, so that's how we came upon this date that worked for us and for the school as well. So we're going to be having various demonstrations going on throughout the library and programs that day. We want to showcase all of our technology, so we want to showcase our green screen that we have, our 3D printer, our ebooks. We want to show people how to download ebooks, how we have our wireless printing, how they can get on our Wi-Fi, our fax and scan station. And we're going to have a representative from the Kendall County Food Pantry here collecting food for finds for us. And a representative from the Yorkville Historic Society will be here in our genealogy room. She will show people what resources we have there as well. We're going to be having celebrity guest story time readers, and I believe Mayor Purcell is on the lineup for that, and our chief of police as well. And I know Tiffany is getting a few more people as well.
She can get you the superintendent.
Yes, that's true too. That would be wonderful. Wonderful. We have, I believe, the Hicks Brother Ukulele Band will be here doing a performance. And I know we were going to be doing a art and poetry event, but that is taking place another time. So Tiffany's looking at getting some small performance groups maybe to come in here in this room as well. We'll have the Merry Hearts Clowns here and the Characters for Cause group as well.
The ones that were here before?
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. They were awesome.
Yep. And then, you know, there'll be games and activities throughout the library.
Okay.
So I just wanted to give you a report on that.
What was the new date?
New date is Saturday, October 9th, from 11 to 3.
Okay. All right. There are no other questions, then let's move on to new business. So let's talk about extending the library service hours.
So at our finance committee meeting, Shelley presented us with a spreadsheet of, you know, that the number of hours that we're open now, which is 49 hours a week. And she calculated that it would cost about $15,000 a year to increase it by 6 hours. So if we opened at 9 a.m. Monday through Saturday, the closing hours would remain at 7 Monday through Thursday, and then 5 on Friday and 4 on Saturday. So the finance committee thinks it's a good idea. We looked at different libraries in the area, and a lot of them are open longer than we are. So
it's still within our budget.
We had talked about hiring a maintenance person for 20 hours a week. So this would be like in lieu of that.
Okay. I think it's a good idea to extend the hours. Are we approving this tonight or?
Mm-hmm. No, we would like to.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think we were talking about September 7th to start this.
Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Tuesday, or the Tuesday after Labor Day.
Okay, well.
I'll make a motion that we approve the extended hours beginning on September the 7th.
Second.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Shim?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
And Millen?
Yes.
Thank you.
Would you tell us what were the hours?
I was going to say the hours.
It would be 9 to 7 from Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
And then 9 to 5 on Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturday.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
So.
Thank you. Okay. So, and we'll also have, you know, get the word out, you know, through the media that our hours are changing. Okay, so next would be the cost of living adjustment, COLA.
Again, at the Finance Committee, we talked about doing a 3% raise for all employees. We would like to recommend that we do a 3% raise for the full-time people who didn't just get hired into their positions, essentially, and not for all of the part-time people, since they'll be, it comes out to a 33-cent raise for the people who are at minimum wage, and they'll be jumped up to $12 an hour in January. Okay. And at that time, just like we did last time, we're planning on doing a wage adjustment.
Wage adjustment.
Yeah, so that it
keeps everybody at the same
level.
So yeah, everybody got a raise in January of about 10%.
Right.
Just because of the minimum wage. Mm-hmm. Get credit, it's a 33-cent increase, but they just got a 10% increase.
Right.
Except for the three managers.
Right, that's why we
Dixie, Cheryl, and Jeanette.
Okay. That's why we're recommending that they get the 3% cost of living adjustment.
Yes.
Because they didn't get it.
They did not get it.
Right, correct.
Right.
And this was budgeted.
It's in the budget.
Yeah.
Yes. This was an item in our budget.
Yes. So I'll make a motion that we give the three managers, Cheryl, Jeanette, and Dixie, the 3% cost of living increase. The part-timers won't get the cost of living increase because they already got the minimum wage increase.
And we'll look at it again in December.
We'll look at it again in December.
For the part-timers.
Yes.
Yeah. Second.
Millen?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Schimpf? Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Garcia?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Next is carpet cleaning proposal.
Okay, so that's the last part of your packet. He priced out janitorial cleaning, window washing, ceramic floor, and the last one is carpet cleaning. So the last time our carpets were cleaned was in, I don't even have a
probably
date.
Like 3 years.
So the last time they were cleaned was November 18th, or November 2018, but it was only high traffic area.
Right.
That was
like 3-4 years ago, high traffic area. With the previous
and that was back. Stanley Steamer. Mm-hmm. And just the high traffic area was $3,100.
I remember.
Now, we had a quote in 2016 for the entire library in this room. That was $4,200 in 2016. And that was with Terry's carpet cleaning. So this quote, I believe, is very good.
For the entire
it's
library?
2021. It's 5 years later for all areas of the library and this
all carpeted areas.
Okay,
so that's it.
Yep, I confirmed that as well. Not high traffic. I said every space in the library, every office, mm-hmm. every room.
Not moving the book stacks.
No.
Not for $3,400.
Right, and it would be done either on the weekend or in the evening.
Would it be dry? The next, like, if they did it in the evening, then would it be dry the next morning? Or
if they did it on the weekend, I know.
It would have to. We would have to
open
start it on Friday or
something.
Okay. Saturday. Earlier.
And do it after the book sale.
They could do it after the book sale. Oh, so yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay.
What was the question?
So this is one of my top five priority things that I think I had told you about, Ryan.
Yeah.
That was, yeah, you delivered, you gave to Ryan for fiscal facilities.
And we think we would do the whole building every 2 years, ideally, or?
We could stretch it to 3, maybe. Yeah. Or you do high traffic area the next time.
Time and then do the
full
again.
Full carpet, you know, so you're in a 5-year rotation, maybe.
Carpet's expensive, so taking care of it's really important.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And then not only that,
yes.
Carpeting is 14 years old.
We should take care of it.
We should take care of it. Yes, absolutely.
Are we looking to approve this tonight?
I think so.
Okay.
Okay.
So
these are
what
you said. Okay, go ahead.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve the carpet cleaning proposal for $4,437.
One second.
For the entire library.
One second.
Garcia.
Yes.
Millen.
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Kim?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
And Forrestal?
Yes.
Put the other two on for next month.
So the next one is just a high touch.
Especially the windows.
The windows were done.
They were done?
Yeah, so they're not ready until end of fall.
Okay, so that's it for carpet cleaning. And we do have an executive session to go through because we have to review our executive session minutes and determine what we're going to release and what we're going to keep closed. So that's board only. So
love it.
Nice to see you all.
You're
going to
make a motion.
I will.
I hope one of you waits to take me home.
It's not raining.
One of us will rain.
Thanks.
Okay. There's only a tornado watch tonight.
Yeah, it's not a tornado.
All right, so I'll go ahead and make a motion that we go into executive session for the discussion of minutes of meetings lawfully closed under the Open Meetings Act, whether for purposes of approval by the body of the minutes or semi-annual review of the minutes as mandated by Section 2.06.
Second.
Okay. Let's go to executive session. Out of executive session, and I make a motion that we release the executive session minutes for Monday, April 12th, 2021, and Monday, February
8th,
2021.
Second.
Okay. Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Schumacher? Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Shim?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
And Chacon?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, we are done.